Natay, what's up, man?
Man, doing fantastic. I always love Mondays joining you guys after a long Sunday of watching NFL football. Nowhere I'd rather be than right here without
Oh,
Monday
it's
being the
all love,
first.
man. It's all love. I love it. Hey, I guess we're back to let Russ cook. I guess the MVP chants can get back going after. I think we all kind of thought Russ would atone for this. And man, you look at the numbers of his bounce back games when he's coming off a loss. Like, his numbers are just pretty filthy. That's a pretty safe bet that he's now 32-8 following an in-season loss. That's an .800 winning percentage, and it's the best by any starting quarterback in the Super Bowl era coming off a loss. What's your takeaways from the Seahawks win yesterday over the Niners?
My takeaway is Russ. He's probably one of the most mentally tough humans, quarterbacks, and athletes I've ever seen. Like you said, after losses, the guy is almost unbeatable, and you know he's going to bring it. You always see him on the sidelines with the clips where he's talking to his teammates, always positive, and he actually lives that. So to see him always be able to bounce back, the words that he says to his teammates always ring bells because they know he's about it, right? And that game, you know, he felt like Russ was kind of like Oprah, right? Last week, Lockett has a big game, right? He's getting fed, he's getting love. Now this week, Russ is like, all right, Metcalf, you had a slow day. I'm Oprah. You get the ball. You get the ball. You get the ball. And he can pick any week who to target and who the defense isn't focused on and give them love. Even David Moore was getting some love that game. So, I mean, Russ, man, the guy, what can he not do right now? The guy is fantastic, mentally strong. I make that game. I mean, the Seattle, they're running away with this thing, and their defense is what really impressed me because they were
Yes.
active. I mean, they don't have the big name guys right now up front, but Wagner, what a stud. Like, I mean, he had like three or four plays where, you know, he's giving guys the rock bottom. He's just setting the tone and really bringing that energy. And, you know, that's why he's an all pro almost every time he touches the field, right? This guy sets the tone for his team. He has, you know, the talent isn't what it was back then with the Legion of Boom, but he's making up for it like almost single-handedly, and he's bringing guys along. So my big takeaway was that defense is active right now.
Well, and they'll get Carlos Dunlap. We'll be able to play for him next time out. Adams will get healthier. Is it more impressive, Nate, what they did because they had no running game yesterday? So if you're San Fran, you go, you know what, they're probably not going to beat us on the ground. But Russ, usually it's get him on the ground, then you can get him on the air.
Right.
He did it backwards yesterday, going, you know what, I know we got no one to run, but I'll pick you apart. After two slow offensive drives, he started picking them apart. Does that not make it even more impressive what Seattle's doing?
It really does because when you have a good run game, everything opens up. And to do it backwards, it's way harder because it's almost easier to defend a team that doesn't have a run game because you can just sit back. But that was impressive. Like, that was the thing going into the game. You look at DJ Dallas, you know, rookie, you know, not really proven. And what was he going to give you on the run game? And that was what San Francisco was kind of keying in on. It was like, okay, they're not going to have a run game. Let's sit back. And it worked for almost, what, two drives? And then Russ is like, all right, man, enough of this run stuff. Let's work reverse now. Let me do what I do. Let's set this up. And then, as you saw, the pass game opened up. Metcalf started getting loose, and then the run game took over after that. And you know, you saw some impressive runs from the kid. You know, a couple times he was in the wrong spots, but he made up for it immediately after. And being on a team like this, you know, everything takes care of itself. Like on the offensive side, you know, you can plug guys in. It doesn't matter. Russ is just that big of a talent where he can bring guys along, even if they aren't. You know, you can plug me into that backfield, and I think I could do okay with Russ back there. Just kidding. But honestly, it's fun to watch when things are rolling like this on the offense. He's got complete control. Get guys in the right spots, you know, get guys involved. I mean, Metcalf, he didn't have a great game like I was talking about, but you know, Russ is able to, you know, recognize that and be like, okay, you know, you've been balling all season long. You had a slow day. Let me get you some love so you feel more involved. Watch next week. Locke is gonna have another great week next week because he had a slow week this week. It's just what you love to see on the offensive side. You know, that's a total team effort. Guys aren't sulking when they don't get the ball. Guys understand it's bigger than themselves. It's more about the team. And, you know, right now they're clicking. If that defense with Dunlop and Adams gets back healthy, I mean, I don't see how they lose in the NFC this year.
Nataya Jay with us here on Sportsnet 650. And you know what? You're right. And that defense stepped up yesterday, right? Three sacks, an interception. They forced some fumbles as well. You know, that was a pretty productive and a much different looking defense that had been typically given up closer to 500 yards per game. They cut that down by at least a third yesterday. But, you know, the other thing is you look at DK Metcalf's numbers. You know, 161 yards in the air yesterday, two more touchdowns. Where do you put him amongst the best receivers in the game right now? Is he the guy? Like, it feels like every week we're talking about something special that he's doing.
Absolutely, and he's a treat to watch because, you know, every time he touches the ball, he has a chance to take it, you know, for six, and it's not normal. You see a guy that's 6'4", almost 230 pounds, be able to do that. It's almost the smaller guys that are able to do that. So he almost plays to his size, and also he has the ability to play like a 6-foot guy with 190 pounds. This is amazing. I think he's like a perfect combination of a Terrell Owens that we've seen in the past and a Calvin Johnson. It's like you put two of them together and you birthed this amazing receiver in DK Metcalf, and it's always fun to watch. And I think right now, I was thinking about it today, I mean, you have to put him in the top five, right? Like, he was
drafted
last year. There was nine receivers taken ahead of him, and right now, are you taking nine receivers ahead of DK Metcalf in the entire NFL?
No.
Exactly. So this guy is unbelievable. Definitely top 10. He's creeping up into the top five. I mean, you got Julio, you got B-Hop, you got Adams. I mean, Odell's hurt, but you know, you can, I think he's better than Odell right now. I mean, you got to look at the full list. And I think right now he's creeping up in the top five for sure.
Well, another receiver that's creeping up, and it's fun to watch, obviously, because he's from here. Pittsburgh Steelers are your only unbeaten team left in the NFL. Does that mean, in your view, they're the best team in the NFL?
That they're up there. They're up there. Their defense is fantastic. I mean, you watched them last year, and they were getting it done with, you know, Duck Hodges at quarterback, Mason Rudolph at quarterback, and those guys have no business being starting quarterbacks in the NFL at this point in their careers, right? But they were still, you look at their games, they're one-score games, and you think, if we get the average quarterback in here, you know, we're going to be a great team. And that's what happened. Big Ben came back, and he's obviously above average. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback, and now he's back. And this is what you're seeing. Like, the defense is unbelievable. And yesterday they were fortunate that, you know, they're able to force some turnovers on Lamar. I don't know what happens to him in big games. I'm a big Lamar fan, but in big games, you got to question what's happening. I don't know. It's when you have teams that have great defensive discipline, and they're like, okay, beat us with your arm. What are you weak at? Beat us with your arm. You saw when he drops back, he's not the same quarterback as it is when the running game is working to perfection. And that game right there, it always felt like who was going to have the ball last. Baltimore had it last, and then Pittsburgh stepped up. And so, you know, big props to them. They're looking great. You knew this was going to happen when they got a good quarterback in there, and they're really impressive right now. They're a fun team to watch, especially because they have Canadian receiver Chase Claypool doing his thing, catching the game-winning touchdown. That is fun to watch.
Oh, it was his tweet there yesterday. Losing, never heard of her. I mean, still perfect as a pro baller, man. Now he's got swag out there.
When you're winning, you can say whatever you
want.
Yeah,
totally. Tell me this, though, on the flip side of this. So the Ravens, and look, I don't think all is broke and doom and gloom for Baltimore, but, you know, Lamar Jackson, two picks yesterday, and I wonder, what's different about his game? Like, the most passing yards he's had in a game this year is 275, and his next closest was 208 yards yesterday against the Steelers. Like, he's still an effective runner, but it doesn't seem as magical this week. What is it, the fact, a lack of weapons, or is it just, have they figured him out? Like, there just doesn't seem to be as much sizzle or spice with Lamar this year.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. But the main thing is we've seen it before. I mean, when he was doing it last year, right, his MVP season, it was all new. It was all fresh. It was like, oh, look at Lamar go. Look at these highlight plays. Now, another year, you see it, you're like, okay, what's the next step in that? Okay, we don't want to see what we saw. The next step, are you going to wow us with your arm now? And that's what we're looking for, and we're not seeing it. That's why it's not as impressive, right? So,
yeah.
Like, when you see the same, I mean, when you see the same thing like twice, you're not as impressed the second time. It's almost like when your kids, when they start walking, you know, the first time it's, oh my God, oh, that's amazing. And then, you know, they're doing it for a while. It's like, oh man,
yeah, okay, I'm done with you. Yeah. Show me a flip.
So it's
now,
like
kid.
That with Lamar. Like, we've seen all this, the running talent, we've seen you know, with amazing plays, amazing highlight plays. It's like, okay, what's next? Like, are you what big beat big teams, like beat teams that are on the same level as you, know, right? And that's what we're looking to see, and we haven't seen it this year yet. And it's almost, it's funny because he has almost the better numbers when you look at it than last year, his MVP season. But like stylistically, when you look at it with your eyes, it doesn't look better. And it doesn't help that they're losing, you know, their Achilles heel is losing to, you know, superior teams or teams on their level, and they haven't gotten over that hurdle yet. And that's what's hurting the optics of the Baltimore Ravens. And I think they're still a great team, but to get to the next level, we've got to see, I think Lamar is like, I think he's at his ceiling. We have to see his arm improve. We have to see his drop back passing improve. And that's obviously the weakest part of his game right now. But if he can figure out a way where, you know, he can beat teams with his arm and then his legs become almost a luxury, that is going to be the ultimate Lamar Jackson. And he it seems like he's a ways away from that right now. And that's the next step. That's the next step in unlocking the ultimate Lamar Jackson.
Well, we always knew Tua was going to be special, and his NFL debut was special. Special teams, special defensive plays, special defensive touchdowns, everything. But how about the team stepping up for him? They win. Good on him. He was looking like a rookie quarterback. Surprise you that he played as he did, because he looked like rookies should look. Learning, some bright spots, other times difficult.
Absolutely. But I'm a big Tua fan. I mean, from Alabama, you know, you see the way his teammates talk about him. I mean, when he was in college, he got two of the biggest recruits, Najee Harris and Devontae Smith, to sign at Alabama. And they weren't at first, actually Jerry Jeudy as well, they weren't going to sign there. But meeting with Tua at a camp, they were sold on him, right? So guys love this guy. And you can see that yesterday. Guys were playing for him. They're like, it's Tua's first game. Let's give it all we got. The defense has been lights out this year, but you could tell there was a little bit extra juice there, you know, because Tua was making his first start. And like you said, he looked like a rookie. You know, he looked like it was his first game. And that's what you want to see. But he did show flashes of that arm talent and, you know, that athleticism. And that's what you want to see as well. And that's why they put him in there. You know, a lot of these teams, when they make their Super Bowl runs, they have quarterbacks on rookie deals, and they're able to load up on their defense. They're able to load up on weapons while the quarterback is relatively cheap, right? And I think that's what Miami's trying to get a head start on, is let's get Tua in there, and then let's see what he has. And maybe next year, if he proves that he can hang in the league, we can load up on defense and get weapons around him and really take advantage of the situation. I mean, you saw that early with Ben Roethlisberger. He came in, game manager, they were able to load up around him. Right now, the Baltimore Ravens, you see all the guys they're signing in free agency, all the guys they're trading for. They have Lamar Jackson on a rookie contract. They're loading up on weapons around him. Jared Goff, when he made it to the Super Bowl, you know, loading up on weapons. And Ndamukong Suh, I mean, just a bunch of guys around him where you're able to, you know, really, really compete and take advantage of the fact that your quarterback's on a rookie deal. And I think that's the path that Miami's headed on. You know, get Tua in there. You know, they know he can play. They've seen it at Alabama. He did it at a high level. Now, can he stay healthy, and can he continue to progress? And if he can do that, they're going to be a team to watch, because they're for real on that defense. And Brian Flores, man, he's an impressive coach. You know, he's had Goff's number since the Super Bowl, and, you know, he really made him look subpar yesterday, to say the least.
No, he did. So Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, or Tua? If you're building a franchise right now from the small sample size you've seen from all three, who are you leaning towards?
That's tough. That's tough, because they all.
That's why I asked
Joe Burrow.
Herbert looks like the it's got to be Joe.
One, if you look at it, because you watch him and like that, when he throws the ball, it just jumps, and it's like on. I don't know if you guys ever saw that Michael Vick commercial when he's like throwing the ball and it's like hitting the guys and they're jumping back like 10 yards. I don't know if you guys ever saw that, but that's what it looks like. He's like putting the ball on his receivers, and they're like, it's like boom, and it's hitting them right in the perfect spot. And it's impressive to watch, and he's fun to watch. Burrow has that it factor. He's a winner. You know what I mean? He's going to do whatever it takes to win. You know, you have a franchise guy in him. Tua, we're still learning about him. So right now, I'll put Tua, if we're doing rankings, Tua's probably number three. I'll put for me personally, I have to put Herbert number one because he throws the ball so beautifully. And Joe Burrow's number two. He's a winner, man. But you can't go wrong with either one. They're all going to be fantastic. It's going to be the almost like that draft class of Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, and Rivers, right? They're all fantastic, all Hall of Fame level quarterbacks if they reach their, you know, their peak. And, you know, you can't go wrong with either one.
Nate, thanks for this, man. Another good week. Well, let's see what Tom does against the Giants tonight to wrap it up. But appreciate it, man. Have a great week in front of you.
You too. Always fantastic to join you guys. And my baby says hi once again, but she won't be joining us this week.